filter is. How many know what a filter is? Okay. If you have a car, I remember one time the guy had his oil and filter in his car. And I remember this guy came into church and he says, yeah, he says, my car, my motor blew up last week. I mean, literally, it just seized up. And we asked, oh, why? And they towed it into the shop and said, man, you know, your engine doesn't have any oil in it. And it doesn't look like you ever changed the filter. And he said, filter? What filter? He said, oil? I'm supposed to. Now, years ago, he said, you mean I'm supposed to change the oil and filter? He said, yeah, you never changed the filter. I had like 60,000 miles on the car and never changed the filter. Never changed the oil. Now, at least it had a filter. And a filter is designed to catch big particles that you don't want in the engine. A filter is designed to, a lot of times, my grandfather, I remember, used to take the milk. We'd go milk the cow out in the barn and come back down, and he'd put a cloth over the bucket and take the bucket where he just milked the cow and pour it through this cloth and a filter, and it would catch, you know, anything that had gotten into the bucket as we come down from the barn. And the milk underneath it would be clean and pure. It was a filter. Now, I want you to notice tonight that all of us need filters in our lives. Not a person in this room can go without a filter. Filter for our eyes, filter for our thoughts and mind. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Now, if you have your Bible, Philippians chapter 4, notice with me, if you would, in verse number 5, verse number 6, be careful for nothing. I want you to see four C's tonight. We're not going to go over them. The first three we went over a couple weeks back. We're not going to go back over them, but I'll just mention them briefly. Number one, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. The old English word careful was to be nervous about something, to be agitated about something, to have something that's got under your skin and it's causing you to be concerned. And that's this word, careful. The words completely change this meaning. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be very watchful for things. Just trust the Lord. So notice, if you would, don't be anxious. Notice number two in verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be calling on God instead of worrying. It's important that we learn when we have a burden. And you'll notice in verse 6, he says, by prayer, and simply prayer is simply talking to God. But supplication is different. It's pouring out your burden to the Lord. I might say, Lord, would you help me today? This traffic is awfully bad. Would you ease it up that I might get to work on time? But if your wife is sick and in the hospital, you would supplicate. You would pour your heart out to the Lord. If your child had gotten choked on something, you'd rush them to the hospital and they were working on them back in the room, you would be out in the lobby supplicating. You would be pouring your heart out. So he says, when we learn to both pray and supplicate unto the Lord, then he says, notice if you would, be calmed in your spirit. And let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Now, there's a couple of reasons why that peace should be there when you've poured your heart out to the Lord. Number one, He is present. The Bible says He's always with us. Never leaves us nor forsakes us in Hebrews chapter 13. When Mike and Michaela were here, our grandchildren from Africa, they never wanted to go downstairs by themselves. And, you know, Jeremy and Mandy, when they come stay with us, they stay in the basement. And they have their house down there, basically, and we stay upstairs. And so when they were on the phone, they found out they were coming. They said, now, Nana and Papa, can we stay with y'all upstairs? Or we don't have to stay in the basement, do we? No, you don't have to stay in the basement. So a couple of nights we were sitting up there, and they'd forgotten something. And it was down the first floor, not even in the basement. I said, Mike, would you run down here and grab that cup for Papa? And he got up, and he said, Would you go with me? I said, you want me to go with you? He said, yes, sir. I said, are you worried about something? Well, you know, he was trying to be tough. And he said, it's dark. I said, no problem. I'll go with you. So we go down there together. Everything's okay. We're like that sometimes. We don't want to go someplace alone. And we get fearful sometimes. But we must remember, the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that knowledge would calm our hearts. But we have to learn to trust Him. And so when we pour our heart out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you, we have to realize He is there. And it ought to calm our spirits. You'll notice He says in verse number 6, and let your request be made known to God, in verse 7, and you shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The keeper of our hearts and our minds, our emotions or worries, and our minds or thoughts, the Lord Jesus. So keep in mind, He is powerful. There is nothing that's too powerful for Him. There are sometimes whenever we're afraid that we're going to get in a position where we can't defend ourselves. And the Lord said, that'll never happen with me. I'm never overpowered. So we must learn to trust the Lord in His presence and His power. And then you'll notice He's personal. You know, I could be able to sit down with Micah and sit down with him and say to Micah, you know, Papa never let anything happen to you. And so you could go down there by yourself, but you don't have to. I'll go with you. He said, I know that, Papa. Now, a lot of times we don't realize the Lord personally says, I love you. I wouldn't let anything happen to you. Now, we might say, well, you know, why do bad things happen then? We have to learn to trust people. I'm going to tell you this little story. Last year, I had kind of gotten something. Years ago, Jeremy, when he was like third grade, I bought a little go-kart for him, little thing real close to the ground. Unlike four-wheelers, they turn over. I've been to the hospital too many times and somebody riding a four-wheeler. But a go-kart, it's okay, you know. And they don't turn over. They're too low to the ground for the most part. And so Susan and I had gone shopping last year, and we had found a little go-kart, and we bought one. It's used and cheap, and so I bought it, and I put it in a little storage, and I'd saved it for a year. So the grandkids came home, and I said, look, I got a go-kart for you guys. A go-kart? Yeah, what's that? Well, you know, it's a little car. Oh, they like that. So I'd gone on the property and cut a track through the weeds. I let them grow up on the property and let them grow up, and I went through and cut a little track in, and I said, okay, I want you guys to stay on the track. So they got on the track, and so for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, they'd drive. Can we drive the go-kart? So we'd get on it, and we'd ride around, and this went all over this place. 2 or 3 acres just went all over the place. And so the last day, Micah said, can I go faster? I said, sure, go as fast as you want. Just stay on the track. He said, okay. So we're coming down the hill, and man, he's got it wide open. We're probably doing 25, 30 miles an hour, and there's nothing inside except weeds, and we're going right down the track. And he gets down to the bottom of the hill, and he turns, but he doesn't turn it hard enough, and he goes through the weeds. So he kind of loses control, it goes through the weeds. And he's got his mouth open, and weeds are flying. Ah. And I don't know how he does it, but he gets a little piece of something stuck in his throat. And so he's leaning over. He can't get it out. So I had him eat some bread, and he couldn't get it out. And I said, let me see, Mike. And I got a flash on the ground in his mouth. And he had a little piece lodged right in his mouth. And it was like a sticker that had gone right in his mouth. And I said, Mike, you know, let me, I can see it. I can get it out. And I went over to my tools. And I got a pair of needle-nose pliers. I washed them off. I got some of that stuff that you know, wash your hands with. Those towels that have got that chemical on them that killed all the germs. So I washed my needle-nose pliers, got them sterile, you know. But I didn't get my gloves or anything like that. I said, Mike, can you open up? And did you know what? He said, sure, Papa. I said, this kid's got more guts than I do. I'll tell you that much. And I took those needle nose pliers, went down his throat and pulled that weed, that right out. I said, oh, that's better. And I got to thinking, what would I have done? Take me to the doctor, Papa. I want you to know that. You're not going to put no needle nose pliers down my throat. I don't want any part of that. But you know, when there's a trust that's there, bad things can happen to us and we trust the Lord to take care of us. And the Lord says, thereby brings the peace. You have to know that God loves you. And you have to understand that He would never let anything happen to you without it being a part of His plan. He's going to use it in your life and others' lives to make a difference. So are we willing to be servants to let God use us? So none of us want bad things. But when you trust your Creator, then a bad thing becomes a part of His plan, and we learn to accept that because they make us stronger. And that's why difficult things happen. No teacher, how many of you ever went to class and the teacher said, okay, I got a pop quiz today for you. And everybody says, yeah, I'm excited about that. No? Well, I say, oh, am I ready? Pop quizzes come all the time in life. Not because God is trying to break us. He's trying to make us stronger and stronger. Now, what you'd notice tonight, then if you would, not only be careful and be calling upon the Lord and be calmed in your spirit, but be correct in your thoughts. Now, tonight, I want you to take note with me, if you would. Look down at verse 8, the last line. Think on these things. And we'll go up to verse 8 and start at the beginning of the verse. To think on these things. So he says, look here in verse 8. Finally, brethren, and then he gives a list of items, filters, of things to use before you think about something. So you can be laying in bed and maybe a wrong thought pops in your mind. Check it with this list and say, Lord, I'm not going to think on that thought. If you want to have a clean mind, here's the framework to follow. And what you notice, he says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Literally, the word true is the word, two words put together, alpha negative, which means not, and then lanthano, which is to hide. So anything you don't have to hide. So I said, when you're thinking about something, if it's something you don't have to hide, it's okay to think about. Is it true? If you think about something, now that doesn't mean everything that's true we ought to think about. But he says, if it's true, and you know you've got to add filters as it goes through. But if it's true, then we can begin to think about it. But make sure that it's true. That it is something you don't have to hide from somebody else. Notice if you would, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now keep in mind, if you have your Bible, it's a filter. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, though we walk in the flesh in this life, we have a fleshly body and a fleshly mind that is corrupt, we do not war after the flesh. We don't fight our flesh with flesh. Notice verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, truth is not carnal. Something that you don't have to hide is never carnal. Notice, if you would, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds really literally is a besetting sin. It's a sin that's got to be a habit in your life. So it could be a lot of things. A besetting sin could be wrong thoughts that you think regularly about getting angry about something. You think about something that makes you angry. Maybe there's a besetting sin. You think something about something that's corrupt. And so this besetting sin plagues your mind. And he said, look, our warfare, our battle against those wrong thoughts is not fleshly. It's, notice if you would, in verse number 4, but mighty through God. Now notice verse 5. Casting down imaginations. An imagination is a thought that you allow. It's a thought that you dream about. Now, let me give you an example. You cast down, notice he says, casting down imaginations that are not truthful. Something that's not true, something that's not accurate. Well, I'll go home and tell mom that and it's not true. You have to hide it. He says, filter that thought from your mind and you'll never do it. You see, the battle is up here before it gets to here. Many Christians have fallen into sin because they didn't bring into captivity every thought. They didn't filter their thoughts. If you have a wrong thought and you say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to have that thought. Give me victory over that. And you remove that thought. You bring down that imagination or that thought. Then you have the privilege of not having those footsteps that you have to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that sin. Now keep in mind, him that doeth knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, yes, thoughts are sinful, but deeds are far more sinful and hurtful. Now, if we don't learn to control our minds, we will commit gross sins. David, 2 Corinthians, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Is on the rooftop. He's not doing anything wrong. But the Bible says, eyes saw Bathsheba. Now he has a choice. I'm going to turn my eyes away. I'm not going to think any thoughts. But he didn't. Every man, every woman here has the opportunity when sin is presented to us. Now folks, we cannot keep all sins from being presented to us. We have to learn how to have a filter for the things we see and the things we hear and the things that we think. Now, the things that we think come through our eyes and ears and through our touch, our senses. So we have to learn to control our senses so that what gets to our mind is stopped in the mind. And then we can have victory in our lives. If you want to say, I don't ever want to be bitter, then you can't think wrong thoughts about somebody. No matter what they've done, you cannot think wrong thoughts. So you battle bitterness up here before it ever gets to here. If you don't, it will get to here. And when it gets to here, and then somebody mentions a name, and you just cringe with that name, and anger pops up, and you're bitter. Now, notice if you would, in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Something that you know God would not be pleased with. You cast it down. And bringing into captivity, you personally take your thoughts and bring them before the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, is this all right with you? Now, you can't take every thought and say, Lord, is this all right with you? So he gives us a framework with which to filter our thoughts. And once we've gone through this framework, is it true? And you say, well, yeah, it's true. Now let's go back to our original passage. Notice if we would, Philippians chapter 4. Notice with me, if you would, whatsoever things are true, notice the next one, whatsoever things are honest. Now, honest, the root word is to revere or to worship. It's something you can respect. So now you understand the word honest means, you know, you always tell the truth. You always pay your bills. You always do those things. But it's something that you revere in your heart. You respect it and you want it to be right. So he says, whatsoever things are honest in your mind, those are okay to think. Notice the next one. He says, whatsoever things are just. Now, this is the word, dikaios, which is the word for legally righteous. So it's okay, it's just if it's right according to law. So is it right? For instance, if you say, well, maybe I didn't have to report this on my taxes. That's not just. If you know it's wrong, then don't think the thought and you'll never put it down on pen. You see, the battle is the Lord's, but the battle's up here. That's where he said, bringing every thought captive. Now, as we begin to learn to think and learn to talk, many of you never have to put a filter on your mouth as far as filthy words or curse words. Now, Peter was different. Peter grew up as a fisherman, had a filthy language in his framework and in his work and in his friends. And so whenever he got into trouble and Satan put pressure on him, he had to be careful because those old words would come out. So we had to put a filter on them. But before I say that, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be careful. So the day that Jesus was being crucified, he was watching the trial. And that fine little girl came up to him and said, "You were with them. I know you were. You talk like it." He began to curse and swear to convince her and said, "No, I know that if I say these words, she will never think I'm a Christian." So he said them. And then he caught Jesus' eye. And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. But if he would have in his mind said, "What would Jesus think? Bring it before the Lord, these words," he would have never said them. So we have to have a filter on our words. We have to have a filter on our mind. And is it true? Is it honest? Would it be honest for me to do that? So if it's not honest, don't think about it again. Don't let it come back as a second thought. Is it just? Is it right to do? Is it something that is legal? Then don't do it if it's not. In other words, the greater the Christian, the fewer second thoughts on wrong that he has. You see, if you want to walk right, then you got to think right. Do you know why the reason most rookies in the NBA or in the NFL or in the National Hockey League or wherever you might say in athletics, the reason why most rookies don't make it well, or they do well but they do far better 3 or 4 years down the road, is because the rookie year they're thinking, "I got to be in this spot, and if they run around that end, I got to be over on this spot." They're thinking, "I'm trying to think where I'm supposed to be." As a Christian, when you get saved, you and I try to think about, "Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. I'm not supposed to think that. I'm not supposed to do that." If you don't take the time in your life, sometime, whether you've been saved a year ago, or 6 months ago, or today, or 30 years ago, if you don't take some time and say, "I'm going to learn to think right," then you'll have a dirty life. It doesn't matter when you were saved. There has to be a point in time in your life when you say, "I'm going to bring down every thought and make it captive to the Lord and say, Lord, is this pleasing to you?" When you do that, you'll have a pure heart. You'll be trustworthy beyond words. Why? And people can trust you because they know you won't give sinful things a second thought. Wow. Where are those kind of Christians? You see, that's what the Lord wants us to do, so that as we've disciplined ourselves and we've brought this thought to the Lord and we've brought this thought to the Lord, after a period of time, you don't need to bring the same thoughts to the Lord. You just quick, "That's not honest. I'm not thinking that. That's not just. I'm not going to think about that." And so over your life, as you grow in Christ, the Christian that's growing is the Christian that's adding more things to the list of second thoughts I'm not going to have. Now, let me ask you tonight. What's your list of second thoughts you're not going to have? If you're going to be a great Christian, you're going to have in the NFL, a cornerback that's trying to guard an NFL wide receiver that's running down the field. He has to remember a couple things. Some things you never turn your back. You never get turned around and lose contact with that receiver. If you watch the great cornerbacks in the NFL, Revis is one of them. And they would take, Deion Sanders was one at one point in time. They would take the half of the field and they would say, "This man is yours and you cover him all over the field." And they would take their best wide out And as a result, they would cripple the offense because they could take the other 10 men and watch out for the other guys, and they crippled their best wide receiver. And so they could win. The Cowboys won a Super Bowl that year with Deion Sanders. The Jets, they had the number one defense in the NFL because Revis would get a hold of this one guy. But if you notice his technique, when they'd get together, he'd have his hands on him. When he'd run, he'd always have a hand on him. He'd be running, he'd have a hand on him, he'd stop, he'd stop. He'd go left, he'd go left, he'd go right, he'd go right. But he always was close to him, keeping an eye on him. He never, when that cornerback went that, when that wide receiver went that way, he never went this way, not one time. So his team got to trust him so much, they paid him like 30-something million dollars because you do the same thing all the time well. We can trust you. So they built their defense around, we're just going to cover this part of the field. Because he's got that. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord Jesus said, you know, I'm going to, and he picked out us, and he said, I'm going to just, I know I can trust him with this. Have you ever wondered why more Christians are not wealthy? I'll tell you why. Because he can't trust us. Wealth corrupts. Ultimate power, absolute power, corrupts. That's why God said to the kings in Deuteronomy, don't add silver to your life, don't add horses, and don't add wives. But read God's word every day. God told them, says, you make a copy for yourself. I want you to handwrite it yourself. You know why? God was trying to teach them, those kings that had absolute authority, how to learn to think right. But he told them some things that would absolutely damage them. Don't add to your life silver and gold. Let me do it. So what we do is we trust the Lord and we do what's right, and God begins to bless our lives. Well, God begins to pour upon us blessing upon blessing. And he said, if you do what's right, he said, I'll bless you. Now, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. You give the Lord $1 and he'll give you two. But if you read Malachi chapter 3, he says, try and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to restore it, add to it, to receive it. And then I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll say, don't you take any way of his, don't you cause his house to have this, have a problem. Don't you have his car break down. Don't you, I'm going to give him unparalleled blessing. And he did that with Job. But when the test came, Job didn't crack. You know why? He had spent a lifetime thinking right. Thinking right. So when the pressure came, it was his natural mode. The reason Revis and Deion Sanders were so good is the right habits of covering somebody became natural. They didn't have to think about it. You just did it because you sensed that it was just natural. You just knew it. You could ride. How many of you have ridden horses you ride a horse and you want a saddle so that the stirrups can let you hang on to the horse easily? And I remember as a kid growing up, I rode the horse bareback because it was too small to put the saddle on. So I just shinny up her leg and get on her and start riding her around. And I never had a saddle till I was probably 16 years old. I never used a saddle. And so that's why you can't get legs like that without some practice. And so you put your square, straight legs running around a horse, you're going to get some problem. And there it is. So I'd ride that horse, but I could sense when she was going to move a certain way, and I'd move the opposite way. And so I could ride the barrels with that horse. I could hunt with that horse with my BB gun up and get birds on that horse's back. I could do all kinds of things because I'd learned natural reaction just to float with her as she moved. And that doesn't mean you can't be bucked off because they can make a move that you're not expecting. But I know this. Satan's going to throw things that you're not expecting. And you and I have to learn to think a certain way so that when Satan does come, your natural reaction is, I'm not going there a second time. How many of you have been using your computer and an ad popped up? Have you ever been using an ad popped up that wasn't appropriate and you didn't want it, but it popped up? I remember one time I was sitting there at my computer and I think it was in the office, and I was looking up something for Susan. I don't know what it was, but she was standing right behind me. And I pulled up a website that was certainly fine, and a bad one came up on the side. And I went, and you know, thought hit me. Well, Susan's standing right there. I'm trying to give it up, honey. And the thought hit me to try to get that off as quick as I could. But that is the training, because I see so many of my pastor friends fall into sin with that. So there's a fear in my heart. And it's real. So there's a fear in my heart. Anytime I get in close quarters with another lady, that fear gets in my heart. There's an uncomfortableness that I got to get out of here. And I learned that from Joseph. We ought to all learn that from Joseph. But we have to learn in our minds something Peter didn't have in his mind. Is it honest? Is it just? Notice another one. Look here. He says, things are pure? Is it something that's clean? Is it pure? Is it without mixture of the world? Whatsoever things are lovely. The word lovely is the word acceptable. Is it something that... Now, there's a lot of ways you can talk to someone that may be right, but is it pleasing? Is it lovely? Maybe someone does something that's not right, and the way you talk to them makes all the difference. You could talk to them in a very stern or very angry method, or you could talk to them in a way that would not make them defensive. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things that you know that are acceptable to the Lord, they're certainly welcome for you to think about. I think I'm going to go fishing today. I'm going to go riding around with my wife. We're going to look at the countryside. It's pleasing. If it's something that's pleasing, it's okay to think about it. Now notice the next one. Whatsoever things are of good report. Now this is an important one. Good report, euphamos. The word, if it's good, and then if it's famous, if it's a good word, a good saying. Famous is the word for saying. It's not just a word written, it's a word that's spoken. So he said good report always means a word that's spoken. Is it a good word that's spoken? If you hear something about somebody and you say, I'm not going to think that thought. I'm not going back there the second time. Is it of good report? You'll spare yourself a lot of trouble by not being a person that's always interested in hearing the worst thing you can hear. Now, that means you can't listen to the news very much. Okay? So is it of good report? That doesn't mean we put our head in the sand. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that if you want to have a thought life that's pleasing to the Lord, you have to think good about people. You have to listen to things of good report. Notice if you would. And he says this, if there be any virtue. Now notice, if there be any virtue, that's moral excellence. If there's anything that is right morally to do, then it's okay to think about it. If it's immoral, you should not think about it. You shouldn't let it have a second thought in your mind. So tell me this. How would affairs happen if you only thought about virtuous things? You'd shut them off right there. How would pornography happen if you shut off and said only virtuous things? See, folks, you have to have filters in your mind. Where when an old devil brings a thought to your mind, because the old devil, you cannot prevent sin from presenting itself to you. We live in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. How's that happen? Filters. Spiritual filters that protect you. And the spiritual filter that's the most important is the filter of the mind. This is, I'm not thinking that thought. I'm not going to give it the second thought. Notice if you would, in verse number 8, he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, notice if you would quickly, verse number 9, those things which you have both, and he gives three things here, both learned, heard, and seen in me, do. Now, this is where for every father to be able to look at a son and say, now, son, Those things that you have learned, you have committed in your life to be a habit. Those things do that you've seen in me do. That's one of the reasons why every father should be a prayer warrior. Every mother should be a prayer warrior so that your children see you doing it. You'll notice, if you would, down in verse number 9, he says, and those things you've received, those things you've allowed to have as a second thought, because they're all right. You've received them. You've accepted them as right. Said, so now keep in mind that I have received. Keep in mind, these are things that we have seen, heard, and received in him. See, Paul said, both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me. Do. So Paul steps himself out there and says, look, if you've seen me do it, if you've seen me learn it, if you've seen me receive it, if you've seen me think it, then you do it. Now, this is not just some braggadocious guy. This is a guy that's in prison, led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to tell you this. I can say to my wife, follow me, about 99.8% of the times. 97% if I have a bad day, maybe. I don't know what percentage. But I want you to know this. In my heart, I don't want to do one thing wrong. It's just in my heart. It doesn't mean I don't do wrong, but my heart. Lord, you know my heart. Search me, O God, and know me, and try my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And that's what I want the Lord to do. David learned that. Lord, see if, try my thoughts. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, show it to me so I can get rid of it, so I don't have to have it as a second thought. That's the only way you can have spiritual victory. If you have a filter. So you know what I choose? I choose to think good about people. Now, I'll be honest with you, I can be taken advantage of. I there's a passage that says, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. So wise as a serpent, a serpent is a crafty individual. A dove trusts a great deal. So as a pastor, I want to believe the good things about you. Everybody in this room, first. When somebody says something bad about somebody in our church, I don't believe that first. I said, I'm not believing that till you prove it to me. Whereas a lot of people say, oh, really? Tell me more. That's not the way to live. Every Christian ought to look at Paul and say, Paul, the things we've learned from you, we've seen you do regularly. We've seen you habitize in your life. Now, fathers, how many of you have habitized this type of thought life? How many mothers have habitized? That's not a word, but it is a word tonight, okay? You've made it a habit in your life to think this way. Why? Because you want to be godly. Now, folks, nobody can make you do this. This is not something because you come to temple, you join our church, and all of a sudden this happens in your life. It's got to be a want to in your life to say, I want to be clean in heaven's eyes. I want to be godly in heaven's eyes. I want to have the peace of God in my conscience that I know things are right. Now, folks, listen, you can go back through your life and say, you know, I didn't have this filter 3 days ago and I thought this or I said this or I said that. That's why when we get to heaven, you and I are going to find the standard of God was way up here. And we said, oh, everybody does that. And God says, nope, not everybody. Paul's sitting in prison rotting and praising the Lord. I'd have a hard time doing that. I haven't risen to Paul's level yet. I want to be where God could trust me with anything. He could trust me with wealth, but he could trust me with loss if he needs me to. But I trust him. And I'm willing to say, Lord, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try my thoughts. But folks, tonight, listen very carefully. Nobody on this earth knows your thoughts but you. Whether your thoughts are honest, whether they're just, whether they're pure, whether they're of good report. But you and I, if you want to walk with God and you want to have the peace of God in your heart and you want to have the sweetest of marriages and the godliest of children, you have to be able to look at those people for whom you are responsible and say, what you've learned in me, what you've received, what I've received in my life, you receive. What, notice the next phrase, look in verse number 9, what I've heard and have allowed a second thought, you can receive. Years ago, we got a TV. Years ago, 30, 40 years ago, we had a TV. And I was reading in Proverbs, and I have it underlined in the Bible. But that verse, you know, I thought of that verse, and I said, you know, I need to filter that TV, or I'm not going to be able to keep it in the house. There's not very many things you can watch now. I mean, a lot of commercials are bad. The only thing you can watch is the Dallas Cowboys. That's about all you can watch, you know. Football games, baseball games, things like that. Athletic events. Because most of the shows, they have filthy language on. And then, you know, we got to where when we had it, we said, we'll turn the channel. We just won't listen to it. And I said, you know, all I'm using is a remote. So we've got a filter. And we don't have a TV without a filter. Two of them, actually. And so what I'm trying to say to you is, if I don't let anything into my eyes or my ears, I teach my son, what I hear, you hear. What I do, you do. Can you look at your wife and say, what I've learned, you learn. What I've seen, you see. And what I do, you do. If you can't, you got to come forward tonight and say, Lord, help me. I don't want the second thought that's not honest. I don't want the second thought that's not pure. I don't want the second. Now, folks, you don't have to do this. I know this is a summer night and you're fixing to leave out and go out of here, but I'm telling you, if you want a clean and godly life, and if you want to be 60, 70, 80 years old and look back and say, I'm ready to stand before the Lord. I wasn't perfect, but all my sins confessed, and I was able to live a holy life. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. We'll close. Chapter 4, verse 7. Famous verse. Notice verse 6. I am now ready. This is 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure at hand. Paul said, I know I'm fixing to be martyred. I'm fixing to die. And then he says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. He said that under inspiration. Now let me ask this question. Did he fight a good fight when he was murdering Christians? No. There was a point in his life he got to, and he said, from this day forward, I'm going to have a pure mind. I'm going to take pure steps. It's the reason we have a Christian school, to try to provide an environment for somewhat purity. Now, we can't control everything, but it's the reason why we have a church. God instituted a church where you could get away from the world and have a place of comfort where you could have other friends and Christians go in the same direction. So God is the one that invented the ecclesia of the local church. And you and I come to this place as a safe haven. And so all of us in this room as Christians, servants of the Lord, you ought to say with David, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. As Paul, he said, there was a point in my life when I murdered Christians. I'm the chiefest of sinners. But I've fought a good fight. Notice what he says in verse 7. I fought a good fight. When? From that day forward. I have finished my course from that day forward. And I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now I'm going to tell you this. Before Paul got saved, there were no crowns. But you know what? After he got saved, there were crowns. Because when he got saved, he said, Lord, hear my thoughts. Are they right? And then he looked at the other Christians and he said, follow me. If I do it, you do it. Now, Paul, when he sinned, Lord, I'm sorry. Don't do that. Are we like that tonight? Paul wasn't perfect, but near death, he was able to say, I fought a good fight. Tonight, can you say that? Let's bow our heads forward to prayer tonight and ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. You know, all of us have a battle of the mind. Every one of us. Whether it be pure thoughts or whether it be angry thoughts or whether it be bitter thoughts, whether it be hurtful thoughts, every one of us. Can I encourage you tonight to just come to this altar and say, Lord, maybe you want to come tonight and re-up your commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to remind you, I want to think the right things. Lord, I want my second thought to always be right. If you need to come tonight, can I encourage you to do that? If it be blank, think on these things. And then secondly, can you look at your family, those whom you're responsible for, and say, if you've heard it, seen it, learned it, seen me receive it, you can do it. Do it. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to be honest with you. Nothing to hide, because our motives, our desires, our dreams are pure. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. And stand.